Always and Forever at Glendale Hall by Victoria Walters. Read by Ailey Beaton for Saga Egmont. Prologue. 12 years ago. When I woke up, I had no idea where I was. I could hear something beeping. I could smell bleach. I could feel softness beneath me. I blinked, trying to get my eyes to adjust. And then I could see three familiar faces sitting around me. My parents and my brother. I let out a breath, relaxing a little to see them with me.
"Thank you, God,"
I heard Brody say as my mother let out a sob and reached for my hand, squeezing it so hard it hurt a little.
"You've come back to us,"
my dad said, his voice breaking.
"I'll get a doctor."
He jumped up and hurried out of the room. I opened my mouth, but it felt dry and my throat felt like it had a long, deep scratch down it. I tried to move my legs, but I couldn't. I turned to Brody, my eyes widening in panic.
"It's okay, Anna," he said. "You were in an accident, but you're okay. You will be okay."
I was shocked to see tears in his eyes as he spoke fiercely to me. I'd never seen my brother cry before. He looked across at my mother, looking for a moment like a little boy again.
"She will be okay now, won't she?"
"Of course she will,"
Mum said fiercely. She leaned over and brushed my hair back off my forehead. And then it came flooding back. The flash of two headlights coming straight for us, the force that sent me flying, the sound of broken glass and someone screaming. I realised that person had been me. A doctor and two nurses appeared then, and the room became a whirl of activity as they checked me over and asked me questions. I was able to move my legs after a minute to everyone's relief, but the pain was excruciating. The doctor told me that I'd been in a coma for 2 weeks after a driver had ploughed into my dad's car. I hadn't been wearing a seatbelt and had flown through the windscreen. The doctors did test after test. There was no lasting brain damage. Both of my legs were broken and I'd need a lot of physical therapy to build my muscles up again. My ribs were cracked and breathing was painful, but they would heal. I had a deep gash in my cheek, but they didn't think there would be too much of a scar. They said I was lucky. I tried to ask my mum about the accident, about what had happened. But she kept crying, kept saying that I had survived, that was all that mattered. And my brother kept thanking God, and my dad, well, he said nothing. Soon I learned that my family didn't want to talk about it, and I was too scared to keep asking because I feared what they would say. Especially when I overheard my dad telling Brody that the driver who had hit us had died. Flashes kept returning to me of that evening, flashes that would plague me long after my physical recovery. Flashes that made me sure the accident had been my fault. And as such, I shouldn't have survived it. And that fear rooted itself inside my chest and refused to shift. It wouldn't leave me. Not after Brody told me he'd made a bargain with God to save me, or when I was allowed home and my parents helped me onto our sofa, the relief radiating out from them, or even when I could finally walk around the block without my legs feeling like they were going to collapse. The fear followed me all through my recovery. When the consultant signed me off from the hospital, I walked outside and sucked in the air. I could breathe again. I could walk again. I was alive. But I was terrified that I didn't deserve any of it. And that fear, it never left me. Chapter 1.